Current. Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we are exceeding the speed of sound going over the history of Wright-Patterson Field, which, according to Don Schmidt and his investigation with Tom Carey, houses all sorts of secrets. Let's progress with the story about what it was used for. So we all remember the pictures, Donald Schmidt, of the sled, where
yes.
You see the person's face compressing as a result of experiencing G-force.
John Stapp, Rocket Man, yes. Afterwards, they were conducting a lot of crash investigation, a lot of crash research. So almost like as though it was a continuation on what happened back in 47. So in other words, they were set up specifically. They had recovery teams in the event of downed aircraft. And whether, I don't want to bring up Kecksburg, but I'll bring up Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. And there, too, they talk about the materials, whatever was recovered. I have always been in the position that it was a Soviet reentry. But nonetheless, it still went to Wright-Patt. So it seems that it's had this long, drawn-out history of not only UFO investigation, but also when something is recovered from the air, even from space, that the testing, the final repository, seems to have been Wright-Patterson. And so you have all of these underground facilities, and one of the things, if one has ever toured the base, and I've been there on numerous occasions until the last time when they wouldn't even allow me on the base, which we describe in the book, that you see all these ventilation shafts. You see all these tubes and all these ventilation units on the ground as if they're obviously leading to some underground building. And then there are bunkers with doorways that you go down a stairway, and the door obviously must lead to an underground chamber of sorts. And then there are all types of restricted areas that go off into some wooded areas and alongside other hillsides. General Exxon, to mention him again, when he was the base commander in 64, he described to us that there were entire areas that were even off limits to him, and he was the base commander. And then we know the famous story as far as Barry Goldwater even asking for access to certain areas on the base, specifically the Blue Room, which supposedly contained, you know, physical evidence in the
right.
files.
Not only no, hell no.
Hell no, right, right. Getting back to, again, Wright-Patterson. So it's demonstrated, and we have so many accounts in the book that talk about these underground hangars, these underground vaults, these underground chambers, multiple levels, that suggest that there's an entire operation that continues on a day-to-day basis, subsurface. Now, I've never been to any of these underground levels, but I have been to at Holloman Air Force Base in Alamogordo, New Mexico, White Sands Proving Ground. I was one of the first citizens given a tour of Space Command, and I was taken three levels down, and there was this huge hangar, underground hangar with all these tractor trailers, these mobile communication vehicles that in the event of an EMP, any type of breakdown of our electronic grid, for example, that these would all come to the surface and fan out throughout the country maintaining mobile communications. So I was told. And we went into an elevator shaft. And we went down, and I saw the numbers. And I was told we went to the third level. What was interesting is years later, I ran into a lieutenant colonel who was at the Pentagon, who used to work at Space Command at Alamogordo at Holloman Field. And he said, Don, they were just trying to give you the impression you went down three levels. You actually were still at the ground level. And I said, well, that's interesting because we had to go down a flight of steps to even get to the elevator shaft, which he kind of then laughed at. Well, yeah, it's not above the ground, but so you're telling me we never went beneath ground level? And he had no answer for me. So, again, he was trying to cover his tracks. But these stories, the information, the eyewitnesses, they exist. They talk through the years of being taken down elevator shafts, going to these undisclosed areas, and seeing certain things that they shouldn't have, and then being told that they are not to speak. It was a continuation on the Roswell theme. They were describing and reacting the same way as so many of the witnesses at Roswell. You didn't see anything, you didn't hear anything, and you are never to say another word about this. So a continuation on the same theme.
Well, this is what I gather here, is that any installation used for top secret work of any kind doesn't necessarily have to involve ET or some kind of otherworldly phenomenon or craft. They're going to have security issues.
Absolutely.
They're going to have security restrictions. That's part of the way these things work.
Absolutely.
So we understand that. Now, the question I have, though, I think goes back to the title. How do you relate this kind of installation to Area 51? Why do you call it the real Area 51? Is it because of the belief or the expectation or the evidence showing that the alien craft are there, not Area 51 in Nevada?
Our original title was actually Beneath the Radar, suggesting a subterranean, you know, sub-level as far as a containment for the UFO evidence. And our editor came up with the title of Inside the Real Area 51, and mainly playing off of the notion, and then you describe it quite accurately, Gene, that people have this knee-jerk reaction. They hear Area 51 and they immediately think, oh, aliens on ice, alien technology. And I, for one, have never subscribed to the belief that anything extraordinary is being stored at Area 51. I think it's just a continuation on you know, skunk works and black operations, black ops, whether it was the U-2 spy plane or the SR-71, the Flying Blackbird, Project Aurora, if we believe in that, the Flying Manta, nothing to suggest anything of a extraterrestrial nature. But again, people believe that, people draw that connection, and our editor just felt that, well, it isn't Area 51. In reality, it was Wright-Patterson. So let's just set the record straight. Let's demonstrate that as much as they'd like to believe it's at Groom Lake at Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada, in reality, it was at Wright-Patterson in Dayton, Ohio.
Therefore being the real Area 51.
The real Area 51. Yes.
Besides, it's a provocative title.
Yes, yes. And interestingly enough, as we all know, that the CIA would make that announcement as though talk about being right on top of things again, just a week before the release of the book, that it does exist after all. You know, contrary to, you know, 50 years of denial, it's really out there, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, again, well, and that brings, Donald, that, and that's really important. I brought this up a couple of shows ago, that the very fact that it's now been acknowledged, doesn't that open up you know, all the legal lawsuits that were in the end of the 90s, I think, by workers who were destroying or burning toxic materials out there, and they tried to sue the government? And I
yes.
seem to remember Bill Clinton saying, well, you can't sue the government because there is no base that you're claiming that you worked on. Doesn't that open up the legal issues now for these workers to go ahead and go after the government?
I would hope so. I would hope so. And especially as far as this class action suit, as you described, Chris, that these former workers who, you know, it's no different than the Agent Orange, you know, victims as far as from the Vietnam War, that if indeed they have been exposed to toxic elements of any kind, that they should have some legal recourse. And true, you can't sue the government. You can't sue the military for that reason. I remember when, I think it was Popular Mechanics, even had this cover story that 51 had been evacuated. It had been cleared out. And the new Area 51 was now in Utah.
Ah, we can even go to Utah, especially Utah. We have Donald Schmidt joining us. And the new Area 51 is not in Utah, by the way. But the book, of course, is called Inside the Real Area 51. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new EPAC 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
Every day, more and more people are feeling better than they've felt in years by going gluten-free. Now it's your chance to learn how it can change your life. The third annual Gluten-Free Living Now Expo comes to the Fountains in Carmel, Indiana, Saturday, October 5th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Discover the world of gluten-free living with 100 vendors showcasing and selling the latest gluten-free products. Get vital information with lectures on celiac disease, gluten sensitivity, and the gluten-free diet. And with the gluten-free cooking and baking demos, you'll learn gluten-free can still be delicious. There's a kids' corner sponsored by Shaw, and there's even a gluten-free beer and alcohol garden. The Gluten-Free Living Now Expo. It's everything you need to know about being gluten-free. Saturday, October 5th at the Fountains in Carmel, Indiana. Admission is free for kids 12 and under, and just $10 for adults. For more, visit glutenfreelivingnow.org and follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Sponsored by Kroger, Nature's Farm, Glutino, Udi's, Living Without Magazine, and Youngevity.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we have Donald Schmidt, co-author of Inside the Real, Area 51. He's not talking about Utah, but Wright-Patterson Base. Today, what's the current status of what's going on in Dayton, Ohio?
Last time we actually tried to visit the base, I was contacted by Peacock Productions, NBC, Lester Holt, the weekend anchor at NBC. They wanted to take a film crew into the base just to look around. And it was kind of a follow-up on what we had suggested when the late Carl Day, he was an Emmy Award winning reporter with an NBC affiliate in Dayton, and he had attempted to do a report in 1995 exposing this rumor, this myth of this underground facility, these multiple levels beneath Wright-Patterson. And the only thing that he was allowed to gain or get on film was some underground passageways, some doorways that led to some underground rooms, nothing more. So this was in 2010. NBC, they wanted to, you know, do some major follow-up. They wanted to actually come in with a film crew. Don, can you help us get on the base? You've been there before. What can you do? So I immediately contacted public relations at the base, thought it should just be routine. And I was immediately referred to Air Force Entertainment in Hollywood. Well, that was a first. They never did that before. In fact, the Ghost Hunters had just done an episode for the Sci-Fi Channel at Wright-Patterson just a few months earlier and had no difficulty getting on the base. But we did. I was turned down six separate times before I finally went to a good personal friend, Colonel Jeffrey Thau, who's a former deputy commander at Wright-Patterson, who still has an office there as well as at the Pentagon. I call him up and I said, Jeff, they're not letting me on the base. Get me on the base. NBC'd like to, you know, bring in a film crew. Well, Don, I'll see what I can do. A few days would pass and Colonel Thau would call up and he said, Don, I have a new quote for you. And I was fully expecting that if anybody should, you know, get us, you know, permission, it would be a former deputy commander of the base. And he described how he met personally with the base commander, who made the remark to him, Jeff, I don't care if you have 4 stars. Don Schmidt is not getting on this base. Well, okay. I had a hard time explaining that to NBC.
Not only no, hell no.
But hell no, right. But I'll throw a little monkey wrench into the works. And I don't know if you've ever had Paul Davids on the program, who was the executive producer of the Roswell movie.
Yes, we did.
Yes. And Paul could verify this. And this was months ago. This was before Paul even was aware that we had just submitted for publication a book on Wright-Patterson. He calls up one day and he goes, Don, you have to keep this under your hat. But I just had a call from public relations, you know, from Wright-Patterson. And they want to fly me in, you know, all expense paid, but to bring in one of the props from the Roswell movie. Now, Paul has in his collection the animatronic alien that we use, the surviving alien that we use in the Roswell movie.
He showed it to me in the parking lot of a grocery store. He opened up his trunk and showed it when I
first
met
him. That's right. You saw a body in a trunk. Okay.
So you know, actually, as a kind of a weird aside, Paul Davids was my landlord when I first moved to Sedona. I rented his house there.
He has a house there as well as up in Big Bear, California, and he has one in Santa Fe now too as well. So he was your landlord in Sedona, okay?
Well, he tried for about a month and a half to get me to rent the place, and I refused to move to Sedona. I wanted to be outside of there, but he finally made me an offer I couldn't refuse. And when we had that first kind of lunch meeting and he showed me the house, he says, oh, check out what I got in my trunk. And he opened it up and there it was. And I was like, oh, my God.
Now, understand here. I'm trying to figure this out.
Well, can I finish
if
this
you
can, quickly?
Sure. Finish the story and they're going to ask the logical question. In fact, let me ask it now before you finish the story. Okay.
Fine.
Does Paul Davids always keep this thing in his trunk?
No.
I'm getting that impression from both of you.
No, though he saw this invitation from Wright-Patterson as an opportunity that he was going to take a cross-country jaunt with the prop, with the body, that he was going to kind of do a film of Roswell on the road, make the drive all the way from Los Angeles to Dayton, Ohio. And when he's describing this to me and saying that they wanted to schedule this for the fall, at the same time that I would then inform him, well, our book is coming out in the fall. And we started to kind of put two and two together. Well, were they looking at this as being a photo op that they would trot out, you know, this prop and say, well, here's the pickled alien we've had since 47. Look it. We have no problem displaying it. You know, anybody want to take some pictures? Make light of it. Well, anyway, I suggested to Paul, okay, let's do it. But under the condition that we get to show the movie at the base. And Paul would have a response sometime thereafter, canceling the entire invitation. That, and as one of the officers at the base said, that they had no intention of showing the movie because it would present information that was contrary to the Air Force's official explanation on the topic. So I just find it rather amusing that here the CIA releases, you know, or acknowledges Area 51, and Wright Pat was planning on bringing out one of the bodies almost, you know, at the same time as the release of our book. So coincidence? Yes, I'm sure it was. But nonetheless, I only regret that Paul didn't get to make his cross-country jaunt. And can you just imagine get pulled over by a police officer and let me take a look in your trunk?
Yeah, but they need probable cause, don't they?
Yes, yes,
you can't just go into somebody's trunk unless you have some reason to think that he's got a dead alien there.
If I were Paul, I'd give them just for the to get the look on their face as
I'm
rolling.
Make sure you're rolling tape on that.
Rolling tape, absolutely.
The only thing is, he may be rolling in the truck to the police station.
That's right.
Of course, that would make a good story.
It would, yeah, and he would capitalize on it. I have no doubt.
Ah, okay. So, all right, if they actually have the captured UFO sitting there since 1947, and it could have been moved, whatever, and they have the captured bodies, is there any evidence that we've learned anything from it? I'm almost thinking of the line that was made in the film Independence Day from, 1996, and there's going to be a sequel, by the way, if anyone cares.
Yes, I understand.
So they go to Area 51, you know, the one in Groom Lake.
Yes.
And someone asked them, you've had this thing since the 1950s, they say in the film, not 1947.
They say 57 instead of 47, right?
Right. Okay, so, you know, fact checkers don't work well with films. Okay, so what they say is, you've had it there since the 50s, and you don't know anything about it. Well, we'll have an answer in a moment. What do we know about this stuff? Inside the real Area 51, Donald Schmidt joins Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know.
GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
It's time to get healthy, and your first step towards a healthy lifestyle begin at the Healthy Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 28th and 29th at the Music City Center in Nashville. Get your free tickets at thehealthylivingexpo.com and join us for Tennessee's most comprehensive health, fitness, and nutrition expo. There's over 100 exhibits with information and services to help create a healthier life. Also, more than 25 health screenings, cooking demos, and the latest fitness trends. Plus, visit the Young Longevity booth. Get free tickets at thehealthylivingexpo.com. There's prizes all day on the stages and at the booths, like fitness memberships to an area health club every hour. The Healthy Living Expo, September 28th and 29th at the Music City Center, Nashville. Get free tickets for yourself, your family, your friends, and everyone you know at thehealthylivingexpo.com. Get to the website now, because tickets are $10 at the door. The Healthy Living Expo, your first step towards a healthy lifestyle.
September is National Preparedness Month in the U.S., and it's National Savings Month at Freeze Dry Guy. Are you prepared to save? All Mountain House freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans are now 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These long-lasting foods for emergency preparedness with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These easy foods for camping, backpacking, hunting, and sailing are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These delicious foods, freeze-dried to lock in the taste, aroma, and freshness, are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. All cans of Mountain House freeze-dried meats, entrees, fruits, and veggies are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. Be prepared and save 40% now through September 30th at freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, again, I'm doing the movie thing where I quote a line from a movie because it so much reflects pop culture. We're talking to Donald Schmidt. So the question they asked there in the movie was, of the character played by the fellow who, of course, played Data on Star Trek Next Generation, that actor, okay?
So they asked, with long hair, yeah.
With long hair and everything. And they say, you've had it here all these years, you haven't learned anything about it, have you? Of course, he said, we've learned tons of things. But that's the question I'll ask you. In the real world, we have the wreckage of a spaceship from 1947. What have we learned from it? Is there any evidence of that?
I am still of the personal position that it remains a cover-up of ignorance, that after now 66 years that they still really have no answers, that the technology may be such a quantum leap that we can't bridge that gap. Screenwriter Tracy Torme, I think he provides, you know, a great analogy. If you could take something as simple as a toaster oven, and if you could teleport it back in time, say you'd send it back to the Middle Ages, and they might be able to disassemble and even reassemble it. But if you can't plug it in, you can never get it to work. I still maintain that after all these years, they still can't find the on button.
Okay, it's like I always say, just take an iPhone and go back 100 years. It'd be a very similar impact. But let's look at that there. All right, what about the claim of the late Philip Corso that they did reverse engineer some of the rough edges of the technology, the easy-to-access stuff? You don't go along with that.
We're often criticized for not mentioning Colonel Corso in our Witness to Roswell book or even the new book with Unright Pat. And I had met Colonel Corso on two occasions, and what truly disillusioned me, now granted, he was correct, because the military, as we know, doesn't manufacture anything. They contract out everything into the private sector. Every tank, every plane, every ship, you know, is all manufactured by private corporations around the country. And so we knew that. We had witnesses at Battelle Institute, at Rand Corporation, at the Bureau of Standards, at General Electric, at Hughes Aircraft, all talking about receiving, you know, portions of wreckage for analysis through the years. So I didn't have a problem with that. But the problem I have with Corso is that when it came to his chapter describing the Roswell incident, it was 100% based on a witness that we had discredited, and that was the witness Frank Kaufman. His story matched Kaufman's exactly. And then when we learned that Corso had been to Roswell on prior occasions and he stayed at Kaufman's residence, he obviously was putting together his story, compiling information for his book from less than reliable sources. And so,
and making it as if he was the participant.
Yes, and then taking on that persona that he inserted himself as a participant, correct.
Okay, so basically he made up a lot of this stuff is what you're saying.
Or that he relied on, as I described, less than reliable sources.
The point being, once he puts himself in the story, he makes himself the star of the story.
Yes.
You are worried about one thing here. We have this guy with a very distinguished military record. Okay?
That's correct.
Why would he do this towards the end of his life? Why would he produce a story that may in large part be fictional?
And I would also question, again, the timing. Why was the book slated just prior to the 50th anniversary in July of 1997? And unlike our first book, UFO Crash at Roswell in 1991, and even the follow-up, The Truth About, in 1994, we received a ton of media attention. And if you were to look back at 97, aside from the 50th anniversary, Corso pretty much got buried in the rush. The only network program that I've ever witness that did a report on, here was a first-hand officer, first-hand, you know, witness to Roswell, who came out with this first-hand account of, you know, handling materials, seeing bodies, and being privy, being involved with the actual reverse engineering efforts of the material. And the only program that touched him was NBC Dateline, which did a hatchet job on him. So I started to, you know, question if it was all intended to, again, serve as a diversion, as a smokescreen for the real story, for the real case.
So basically, Corso, you say or suggest, he was serving his country
in
to provide
ways,
disinformation.
Possibly, and as an unwilling participant, as an unknowing participant. That's so often the case, and especially with elderly officers where they're called back into, you know, service, back into duty, and they don't even realize that they're serving someone else's agenda. I can't prove that. I don't know that for a fact. I just, you know, I just question why he had to rely on disingenuous information if indeed he was a first-hand participant, and why he was almost like kryptonite when it came to the media back at that time.
What do you think about Bill Burns' participation as co-author? Did he just take the notes and embellish them, or what?
Well, we know that there was a dispute between the Corso family, not only involving Colonel Corso himself, but also his son, Phil Jr., regarding Bill Burns, and that much of the information had been inflated, had been exaggerated. I, too, if I had to rely on any single Roswell witness and flesh out an entire book, I couldn't do it. And it wasn't a short book. It was a long book. It was over 400 pages, correct? So there, too, I feel that Burns took great liberties in stretching out the story as much as possible. And I think mainly trying to play up on the 50th anniversary.
Well, the thing is, of course, too, that perhaps he, as a true crime writer, would be ideally situated towards taking this and making it read almost like a fiction story.
Like a novel, yes.
Sure, it read very much like a novel, had this kind of novel approach in terms of the writing. And I also thought here, it almost reminded me in a way of the way Major Donald Kehoe would structure his books. That even though he had supposedly factual books, they'd read like novels in which he was the protagonist. He had the quotes and the interactions and everything.
You make an excellent point, Gene. I never heard that comparison drawn before. And you know that I think of it, I've made the suggestion. I've speculated regarding even Kehoe. And if you remember, even NICAP, his organization, which he had founded.
I know about it. I had encounters with Major Kehoe. I interviewed him once or twice. So I knew him slightly. And he seemed like a nice guy.
Yes, of course.
Really nice guy. He seemed sincere.
Totally. But yet, he discounted the occupant report sightings.
There was an article in one of the UFO publications. It may have been the late Jim Moseley's original Saucer News, where the suggestion was made, how close will Major Kehoe let a UFO get? And I gather it was with great difficulty that he covered the story of Betty and Barney Hill. Now, what Kehoe would say is, look, whether or not we accept this, if we have cases that seem too outlandish, we're going to not be able to get the interests of scientists and legislators. He was trying to be politically correct, maybe too politically correct. So maybe that was the logic behind it. Let's go more into that, because that's fascinating. Donald Schmidt is the co-author with Thomas Carey of Inside the Real Area 51, The Secret History of Wright-Patterson. So much more to come with Gene and with Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, the evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Farmers keep livestock lean and healthy with a mineral-rich diet. Then, before market, they cut off minerals, leading them to crave high-calorie grains. If weight control is this easy, why prescribe surgery for humans? Introducing Youngevity. You could avoid 900 diseases by getting 90 essential nutrients from Youngevity. Check out 90 for Life at tobeyoungagain.com or call 855-79-YOUNG. That's 855-79-YOUNG or tobeyoungagain.com. Youngevity. It's all about saving money, getting healthy, and creating wealth.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Major Donald Kehoe was director of NICAP, National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena. He wrote a number of UFO books, starting with The Flying Saucers Are Real and Flying Saucers Are Real, from Outer Space, which is the first UFO book I read in my life at age 11. The Flying Saucer Conspiracy, Flying Saucers Top Secret, that's the first four. Those are the best four. Okay, and as I was saying in the previous segment, as we talked with Donald Schmidt, he wrote these books like, I would say, a straight-ahead mystery novel. You know, you had Major Kehoe as the star of the book. You would have these various suspenseful episodes involving UFOs, UFO disclosure, and all that. Lots of recreated conversations. Because remember, all these mystery novels like Mickey Spillane and all that, it was always 90% dialogue.
Yes, yes.
And Kehoe kept up with that tradition.
That is correct. Absolutely correct. And they read wonderfully. I mean, they hooked so many people as far as the subject of UFOs, because they read like you were reading a movie script.
You know, the big funny thing is Flying Saucers from Outer Space was actually optioned for a movie.
Yes.
That turned out to be Earth versus the Flying Saucers. That's the one with the great saucers. Ray Harryhausen stop motion effects. But yes. It was just basically a B-movie, science fiction movie, and Kehoe supposedly, in one of his books, told everyone how embarrassed he was that they took his factual information and turned it into a simple grade B sci-fi film.
But it's the type of, you know, reports, the type of incidents, because, and as you both know, I mean, he was mostly writing about military cases, and my theory is that one of the reasons that Kehoe didn't get into or subscribe to the more sensational, the landings, the occupant cases throughout the mid-50s and thereafter, and especially when you mentioned like the Hill case in 1961, that the Pentagon was feeding him just a trickle of information. Some good cases, but not the real hardcore, not the truly profound cases. But it kept him at bay. It kept him on a short leash as a result.
Now, that's they were throwing him a bone. They were throwing him a bone or two or three bones.
That's my theory. And I'd like to look into that personally if I should ever have the time.
You know, I'll give you another story here, okay? This is a true story told me by Jim Moseley. We all know that Jim Moseley in the early 1950s took a drive around the country do research for a book about flying saucers. So he went to the headquarters of Project Blue Book, and supposedly they let him look at the actual documents of the cases. Maybe they had information redacted, and they said, look, you could write down what you want, but you can't take them with you. However, with Kehoe, he was conveyed this information verbally. Somebody read it to him on the phone. He took notes. Okay. When Kehoe learned what Moseley did, this is Jim's version. I believe Jim because I never heard Jim actually lie to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in all the years I knew him, he'd tell me something I could accept as a truth.
Jim and I always got along very well, yes.
Okay. We all miss him. When Kehoe learned of this, he went ballistic. He complained and actually hurt the access by the media to Project Blue Book information because he opened his big mouth.
Though it's somewhat reminiscent of what Jalen Hynek also complained about as the scientific consultant to Blue Book. And as he would be on the road, and he would only make a monthly trek down to Dayton from Evanston, Illinois. I mean, he was initially teaching at Ohio State. He just happened to be at the right place at the right time in Columbus, Ohio, just down the road from Wright Patterson. And
eventually, so he was a nearby astronomer.
And they felt that they needed an astronomer to always present an astronomical explanation as far as these aerial reports. So he was their principal, their skeptic, their chief debunker, you know, early on. And then even after from Northwestern. But as he would be away from his association with Blue Book, he would be on the road and lecturing and doing interviews with the media, and he would be talking to military pilots, commercial pilots, SAC, Strategic Air Command officers. And he'd hear of these good cases. He'd hear of, you know, as he would describe them, you know, truly cases that describe aircraft, aerial objects that defied conventional explanation. And then he would go down to Blue Book, and he'd look for those cases. And he'd you know, finger through all the recent reports. And as he would describe to us, none of those cases were ever there. So he started to realize that, as he put it, all the hardcore cases were going upstairs. They were going elsewhere. And so for Moseley to have described that he was able to go through, you know, the available files, and then Kehoe to complain, well, yeah, I was told of these reports, these cases, but I wasn't allowed to go through the case files. But Hynek describing, well, I didn't ever find the cases I was looking for or that I was personally told about. There's a shell game going on here. And Kehoe's upset, and Hynek's upset, and Moseley thinks that he's had access. And the bottom line is, when the Blue Book files were declassified in 75, it talks about a lot of cases that aren't there. It talks about a lot of gun camera footage that aren't there. It talks about a lot of photographs that aren't there. So I guess the bottom line is, when the system, when Blue Book was declassified, beyond the redactions, beyond, you know, the sanitized version, a lot of the case reports are not there. They are missing.
Let's go back to Kehoe, because I think we were starting to indicate something, and maybe you didn't go too far. I gather you had suspicions of Kehoe and suspicions of NICAP.
Yes, as to whether it would eventually be infiltrated. The late Dr. Peter Rank, who was a naval flight surgeon out of D.C., and he worked with Kehoe. He was there, you know, in the early 60s, and they had concerns even at that time already that they were setting themselves up for a big fall, that they were getting too hostile towards the Air Force. And as a result, the Air Force was going to push back and push back in a hard way. It appears as though whether they created the environment that it became self-destructive or they had some help. As we all know, you know, NICAP wasn't long towards, you know, continuing their UFO, their civilian UFO investigations.
They were always in trouble with money, keeping a magazine on schedule.
Yes.
Kehoe was always pleading for money. But according to Jerome Clark, who's been on our show a number of occasions, Kehoe was a very poor manager. He wasn't a business person. He was a journalist.
Yes.
He may be decent at doing investigative reporting, but he wasn't so good at running an organization. But, of course, in a number of the years, Richard Hall was the guy who was doing all the day-to-day work. Kehoe would come in maybe a couple of times a week to just see what's going on.
That is correct. And you are correct that Kehoe was very much like Hynek with QFOS, with the Center for UFO Studies. He wasn't an office person. He liked to be out in the field. He liked to essentially go out and collect information, collect stories, as especially in Kehoe's case. They weren't really investigating. They were just accumulating data. And as a result, if the office needed just to even, you know, go out and buy stamps for a mailing or print up a new newsletter, well, you know, take care of it. Don't bother me with that. You know, I have the next case to look into.
Okay, and so do we think then that Kehoe, with an organization heavily laden with ex-military, including a former director of the CIA, as a matter of fact, whether
Roscoe Hillenkoetter, yes.
Sure. Whether he was manipulated by the military and thrown a few bones to keep away from the really hard stuff, really difficult stuff, the really sensational stuff that would really prove something.
That is my theory. That's something that I do intend to look into, the idea that they kept them, as I said, at arm's length. And as we even describe in the Wright Patterson book, I believe they did the same thing with Hynek.
Yeah, and I must say, Don, you do a really good job of really showing the progression from the beginning of Hynek's involvement through literally his last days, how he became more and more frustrated and really simply wanted to know the truth. And this is your book really does lay out, I think, that process that Hynek went through in a really, really, I think, a poignant way.
I
mean, the guy really, at the end of his life,
yes,
he was frustrated.
Absolutely.
I met Hynek in his final years several times. And we'll go into all those stories and a lot more. We're talking to Donald Schmidt. The book is Inside the Real Area 51. And you're inside with Gene and Chris, the real
Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.